Whose puss and money is this? Oh, Sherwin. Keep your purse, bro. Thank you. Just quickly, just setting up here. Thank you, musicians. I think worship today was phenomenal. Let's give the guys a round of applause. Wonderful. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. It's good to be back. Last weekend, we were away in Udon Thani, Thailand. So, somebody cup for you. Shwe wore her sarong. I cannot wear mine for legal purposes. It's not allowed, I guess. Anyway, very quickly, we're going to go straight into the Word. Sister Visa can help me with that. Better Call Saul. This is not from Netflix. This is not the follow-up from Breaking Bad. This is about a Saul in the Bible. The text is 1 Samuel, verse 9. 1 Samuel, verse 9. You can turn with it. I will just... 1 Samuel 9. The whole chapter. But we don't need to read that. I'll just summarize. I'll summarize it for you. Is that okay? Yes? All right. We all know Saul as the villain, right? He's the bad guy. He's the guy who tried to kill David. He's the guy who got jealous of David. He's the guy who throw spear at David, hunt David down and all that. But way before Saul was the bad guy, he was an innocent young man. Okay? Kind of like Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 1 and 2. Innocent, yeah, he not yet become Vader yet. Except Saul is real now. Darth Vader doesn't exist. Okay? So, Saul was looking for his father's donkeys. His father lost some donkeys, so Saul and his servant went hunting for donkeys. And they were looking in the mountain, they're looking in the valley, they're looking everywhere for donkeys, and they couldn't find. After about 3 days, Saul told his servant, "Look, I think you better go back already. My dad's going to be worried for us. We're not going anywhere with this. We're not finding the donkeys. He's going to be worried about me instead of the donkeys. Let's go back." But the servant said, "Hang on, not yet. There's a man of God ahead. I know where the man of God is. We go and see him and maybe he can help us." But Saul said, "If we go to the man of God without any money, without anything, I don't have anything to give him. What are we going to do?" The servant said, "I got a little bit money. I got a coin. We will give him this coin. We will find out where the donkeys are." So they went on their way. They didn't give up. They went on their way. They found the prophet. The prophet was Samuel. Samuel was already waiting for him. Because God had told Samuel earlier, "This is the man that you're going to anoint as king over Israel." So Samuel was already waiting for Saul. Saul came. Samuel immediately greeted him. "I've been waiting for you. Come here. There's a place set aside for you in the VIP area. You're going to sit here. There's food already prepared for you. Your portion is separate from everybody else. It's already here. Don't worry about your donkeys. Somebody's taking care of it for you. It's already have been found." Amen. Everything that Saul was so worried about immediately was all settled. He didn't even know it was settled. Amen. The first point of my message. You can go straight to the points. Okay, we're going to blast out all the 4 points there so I wouldn't finish too fast, okay? So I got my reference. Okay, so first point, and you all can help me if I skip or what, ask me to go back. Finding my donkeys. Finding my donkeys. Sometimes we all get in this Saul-like situations. We get frustrated. We're searching uphill, downhill, going round and round the mulberry bush. When is this coming to an end? When is God going to answer my prayer? Where is my breakthrough? Where is my healing? Where is my promotion? Where is my life partner? Where is the right person that's coming? When will I find my donkeys? You see, Saul was just doing what his father told him to do. In the same way, I'm asking you to do what our father asked you to do. Our father asked him to what? Seek him first. Just keep putting him first. Just keep going, doing about what our father's word says. And then we will find our donkeys. Amen? Don't give up just yet. Your donkeys are around the corner. Your healing, I believe, is coming. Somebody say amen. There's a portion already set aside for you. Suddenly, before you know it, when you reach that point, everything will change in your favor. Amen. Amen. The right people are already set aside for you. Amen. Don't give up just yet. Don't give up just yet. You will find that someone. All the married couples, turn and look at your spouse and say, "I'm glad I found my donkey." No. Don't be so obedient, huh? Don't do that. Unless you want to die. Okay? Then we have to do the resurrection service. I want to call Pastor and Pastor Stephen. Huh? All the good ones, yes. Who said that, huh? Get out. No, I'm joking. When Saul almost gave up and he wanted to go home, he had a special weapon. His weapon was the servant. He almost gave up, but he had a servant who encouraged him, who pushed him on. That was, I believe, his support system. Last week in cell, one of our youth shared about how our church is a support system to him. How when he's down and he's going through struggles, and then a lady in church told him, "Hey, my daughter is praying for you, you know, at home, and we pray. She remembers you and she prays for you that God will heal you." And he's like, "Oh, I'm so touched, man. If a little child is praying for me in church, surely God will answer." Amen. So that's what we have here, a church, a living church where we care for one another. We lift one another up. That's why if you're not attached to a cell group, I encourage you, go to a cell group. Another brother also was sharing with us how he was in a dark place a few years ago. One day, while we were having AGM and Makan, we invited him to come for cell, and he came for cell. And 2 years ago, he marked the date of how God changed his life from then until now. Suddenly, in 2 years, God accelerated him, God blessed him, opened doors for him that he never thought it would happen. You will never know what a good, strong support system can help you in your journey, in reaching your destiny. Amen? That is what church is about. Amen? It's nice to go back at your own time on the YouTube, listen to podcasts, listen to messages, you know, follow up. But it's totally different experience when you attach yourself to someone. When you come on a Sunday morning, you see somebody's smiling face and somebody encourages you. I want to know how you are. I want to know your story. It makes a world of difference when you share a meal with somebody. You know, we have a support system here. Point number two, a tap on your shoulder. It's a bit small. Can you see? Can, huh? Amen. A tap on your shoulder, point number two. When my father was in Bible school years and years ago, he was going through some difficult times. He was going through discouragement. He was very frustrated at one time. He wanted to give up. He was ready to just leave the ministry. He didn't want to do it anymore. Also take note, he was a very young Christian, a new believer, and he was already in Bible school. So in one of the meetings, he was sitting right at the back in the old chapel, and everybody went in front for prayer, and the speaker was praying for everybody, but he was right at the back there with his head held down like that on the pew. They didn't have nice chairs, huh? They had pew. I managed to see this chapel. It still got a pew a few months back. But that's where he was, right at the back there. Everybody's praying. He was very down, very frustrated. While he was like this, suddenly he felt a tap on his shoulder. Somebody tapping him on his shoulder. And he turned around and looked, it was a speaker himself. He left everybody in front, he went at the back, he tapped my dad on the shoulder. And my dad looked at him, he said, "I see your name written on your forehead. It says David." And then the man took him under his wing, the man shared with him everything that was in his heart, and the man encouraged him, the man lifted him up. That's what we need here today. Amen? Because there are times when sometimes I wish I had somebody like that to encourage me. I'm going through this frustration. I'm going through the hurt. Nobody knows. On the outside, everything is nice. But sometimes we go into a place where we need somebody to encourage us. We need that tap on the shoulder. We need the servant to tell you, don't give up. Don't go home yet. You know? And this morning, I'm that servant. I'm encouraging you. I'm tapping your shoulder, so to speak, to tell you, don't give up. Keep going. Keep pursuing God. Your journey is not over yet. His plan for you is still there. You see, the servant not only changed the destiny of Saul, one man, he changed the destiny of the whole nation, because Saul was the first king of Israel. If the servant didn't encourage him, okay, let's go back, he would have missed his destiny. He would have missed his appointment that is set apart for him. So don't give up. Don't go back. We don't understand. I mean, why don't we be like the servant? Why don't we encourage somebody today? Can we encourage somebody today? Why don't you tap your neighbor and say, "You're going to make it, donkey." You can do the Shrek slang if you can, but I'm not going to attempt that. But stop calling everybody donkey, Jonathan. Okay, so we don't understand why we face delays, but his plan for your life is still there. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we grow cold. But the scripture says, "A bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering flax I will not snuff out." Somebody say amen. Meaning if there's just a little flame in you, he's not going to snuff you out. He's not going to chuck you aside. The fact that you are here, that means there's something still in you. Just like my dad, when he was at the chapel, he was still there. Although he was cold, although he was dry, he still showed up. He was still sitting at the back. As long as you are here, as long as you keep going, he will not snuff you out. He will not chuck you aside. When you are broken, God doesn't chuck you aside. That is our God. He is amazing. He's an amazing God. He fixes things. He fixes us. He picks us up. He makes us new. Amen. Amen. He's life. Amen. When Jonah, everybody know the story of Jonah? Jonah, what did Jonah do? God told him to go to Nineveh, right? And he went in a totally different direction. And God sent a whale to swallow him. 3 days while he was in the whale, he cried out to God, and God asked the whale to spit him out. And he went and ministered anyway. And guess what? Everybody repented. Meaning, he deliberately disobeyed God, but his plan, God's plan for Jonah's life was still there. Amen? Even though he deliberately disobeyed, he went against what God asked him to do, but his plan never changed. His plan for your life is still there. Somebody say amen. Am I speaking to somebody today? His plan for you, what he put in your heart, is still there. You might have went the other way. You might have went astray, but his plan for you is still there. Even when you fail, even when you disobeyed, his plan for you is still there. All we got to do is come back. Come back. The moment Jonah decided, okay, God, I'm coming back to you. Immediately, God restored him to what he's supposed to do. And he was supposed to preach to the whole nations, and the whole nation changed. Can you imagine? From fish stomach, you know, he was about to be fish food. He thought finished, darkness, smelly. But God's plan for him never changed. Our God is a good God. Our God is a wonderful God. We are the ones that cause some delay sometimes, but his plan remains. Amen? Amen? Some people don't like this kind of messages. They say, oh, everything is okay. Oh, God is so good. I say, yes, everything is good. God is a good God. Of course, I'm going to speak of his goodness. You know, if you don't like this kind of message, maybe this message is not for you. I'm not speaking to that person. I'm speaking to you. This is for you. There's hope for you, just like it was Jonah. You might be older now. You might be heavier now, like me. But just obey God. Do what he put in your heart to do. If you want to serve in church, maybe it's time to do it. If you want to start a cell group, maybe it's time to do it. If you want to join a cell group, maybe it's time to do it. What is keeping you back? Maybe it's time to serve more, to step up to the next step. There's no reason why you should disqualify yourself. Maybe it's time to preach. You should just do it. Maybe you should go on a mission trip. Just do it. What is preventing you? You want to do a fun walk for the church? You want to come up with ideas from the church? Go ahead and do it. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. If you want to come up here and sing along and run, maybe it's not time. That one we will tell you if it's time, okay? Don't just take a mic and come up here. I want to sing, it's my time. No. Calm down. So go like Saul did. Continue to where we're supposed to go do. Because when you reach there, everything is taken care of. All our worry, all our stress, suddenly you realize it was nothing. The donkeys was nothing. God had bigger things for him. Bigger things for you. Amen. Amen. Point number 3. Purpose-driven delays. The delays were there for a specific purpose. Saul couldn't tahan. 3 days, cannot tahan already. Lazarus was dead for how long? Bible quiz. How many days? 4 days, correct. Lazarus was dead 4 days, you know, longer than Jesus. Jesus 3 days. Why the delays? What happened? You see, because when Lazarus was resurrected, he was a very, very big testimony. A lot of people came to Christ because of Lazarus' testimony. So he doesn't understand why it had to happen. The people around him didn't understand why I had to lose him. But later on, when he became a fantastic testimony, they wanted to kill him, man. They wanted to wipe him out because of what a powerful testimony he was. That was Lazarus. You know the story about Joseph? Joseph. Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. Fantastic. But just before that, he went through a lot of things. The colored jacket, thrown in this, sold as a slave. And then after that, got falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then he got thrown in jail. Right? Now, while he was in jail, two people had dreams. And they came to him. And Joseph's gift was interpreting dreams. Two of them came. One of them, he said, you're going to die in 3 days. And the other guy, he said, you're going to be in the palace in 3 days. But do me a favor, when you are in the palace, talk to Pharaoh about me. Get me out of jail. All right? So he interprets a dream. And the guy is in the palace, and Joseph is so happy now. My breakthrough is coming. I know, breakthrough is coming. I gave the fellow the dream. Sure, God's going to answer me. But guess what? 2 years, the guy forgot about him. 2 years, every day he's thinking, what happened to this guy? Last time my friend said, you never invite me for your wedding. You kacang lupakan kulit. Like, hey, what? You're not my friend. But the thing is, this guy was a friend. He helped him go back to the palace. But he forgot what Joseph did. But you see, that guy might have forgot, but God didn't forget. It had to happen because 2 years later, Pharaoh would have a dream. Now, if he was released earlier, he would have missed that 2 years appointment. 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Only Joseph could interpret it. And because he interpreted that dream so well, he gave him to take care of the whole nation. You're going to take care of this. The whole nation is going to go into a very tough time. Great famine. You are going to be in charge. You are now the prime minister. Can you imagine? Now he understands. When you see the big picture, then you understand, oh, now I know why I had to go through 2 years. If not, I would have missed my destiny. I would have missed my opportunity. Just like Joseph, sometimes we don't understand, how come this person so fast? How come that person got a breakthrough? They just prayed. How come my one is taking so long? Don't worry. Keep going. You don't know. Suddenly, an acceleration will happen. Are you going to keep believing? I shared with you the last time I preached about how my order, I was so sad that my order didn't come true. I was so disappointed. I was so discouraged. But then, a few weeks later, I realized, oh, that one didn't have to come. That one couldn't come true so that I can get bigger jobs. The same way, we don't understand, but our God is a good God. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I believe it's for somebody here. Amen? Amen? The person, the boy or girl, the singles, you guys are so desperately chasing the one you want to marry. Maybe it's not the one. You don't know why this guy dumped you. You don't know why that girl keeping you in the friend zone. But don't worry. One day you will find your donkey. Amen? Amen. All right, number four. Very fast. Huh? Come out of your hiding. Come out of your hiding. Saul gets anointed as king. Samuel anoints Saul as king. Now he's king. But when he wants to announce to everybody, meet your new king, this guy was hiding. The Bible says he was missing. He was hiding in his equipment. That's the title of my message. Somebody call Saul. Better call Saul. Better call Saul. The Bible says this guy is a head taller than everybody. Head and shoulders, or just head. He's a tall guy. The most handsome guy in all Israel that I've ever seen. And this guy is hiding among the equipment. Now, what are we hiding from? What are we hiding from our destiny? The Bible says he has great things for us here, and we believe all these things for us, but at the same time, we are hiding behind our insecurities. We are hiding behind our excuses. We are hiding behind our hurts, our past, what we went through. We compare our experiences with others. No, that guy is more qualified than me. This person is better off than me. What are you hiding from? What are you hiding from? Today, I want to tell you qualify for God's blessings. Now, my dad has been asking me to preach for many, many years. But I always disqualify myself. I do a little bit and stop. Do a little bit and stop. I never fully committed to it because I always got excuses. My work, my family. I'm not walking with God like how I should be. All these things were excuses, was preventing me. But a few weeks ago, I was going through some hard times, my own personal battles, and I was just seeking God and praying, and God spoke to me very specifically, and I obeyed. And then after I obeyed, I read this message about Saul and how Saul was hiding, and God like, enough of hiding, it's time to step into your destiny. The moment I said, yes, Lord, like Saul, I'm coming out of hiding from my equipment. I got sound equipment, I don't know what equipment you have, but I'm coming out from my hiding. I want to stand into my destiny. I want to step into my destiny. The moment I did that, God has been giving me revelations upon revelations on His Word. It's like a personal Bible study. There were nights where I could not sleep because there was a scripture in my head the whole night. It's just in my head only, that scripture. In the morning, I wake up and I have to seek God and ask Him to explain, and He gives me fresh revelation I never saw before from the Word. Our God is a good God. We don't understand. Sometimes we only want to see the blessing in material things, but there's so much more than material. There's so much more He can give into your heart. He can sow into your heart. Dreams, vision, revelation. All this is God speaking to you, and this is good stuff. good stuff. When I was in Thailand last week, I prepared messages, like 7-8 messages, and I went there. But then, when I was there, I didn't feel any of the messages were suitable. When it was here, it was fine. When I went there, it was not suitable. So what we did was, we went around and visit the locals. We visit the people around there, in the villages, in the kampong, and it's heartbreaking when you talk to them and you listen to somebody's stories. When you listen to somebody's story. Here we say broken home is parents divorce. I come from a broken home. But this is, you are not a broken home, man. You still got love. You still got either one parent loving you, supporting you, bringing up. I don't count that as broken, because you go to Thailand, then you know what is a broken home. 16 years old, 17 years old, kawin, you get married, get a child. 18, 19, divorce. They get remarried to somebody else, get another child. And the cycle goes on right up to their 30s, 40s, as long as they can give birth. So you go to a house. Okay, who's this child? This one, the mother is this grandmother's son, daughter, or what, ran away. Now we got a new son. That's the brother. This one, another one coming. This is the sister. So all these people get children. They just chuck with one of the grandmothers and they go to Bangkok and they find work. That is a broken home. That is a broken family. They don't know who is who, how they're related. There's so many of them. All the parents are broken. All of them don't know each other. It's sad. It's really, really sad. Because it can be like, one day the boy was going to ask this man, he comes to visit, who are you? I'm your father's father. And the poor boy is going to be so confused. You're my father's father. That makes you my sister? You're slow, but it's worth waiting for. You'll get there. It's a joke, huh? You can't be your father's father, his grandfather. But the thing is, they are so confused, the children there. That's why also a lot of guys want to be girls. A lot of girls want to be guys. They don't know who is who. What is this one? They like boys, but they dress up like boys. They like girls, but they dress up like girls. The children there, children coming and small boys coming in lipstick and makeup and all. They're coming to service and they're worshiping God. You know, of course, we love them. You know, they're searching for God, but they're so confused in their family and all these things. That's why if I encourage you, if you could go for a mission trip, go and listen to somebody's story. You think you had it bad. You think you are going through broken relationships, broken families and all that. You sit down, you listen to their story. They will translate in Thai. But when you listen and you expose yourself to this kind of thing, something God can stir in your heart. You will never know. You will never know what God can stir in your heart. You never know how God can change you as you view people, as you love them as they are. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We're called to love people. We had a choice. I told my wife, we had a choice to go Phuket or Bali for holiday or what, but we decided to put the finances aside to go to Udon Thani. To go, at least we go holiday, yes, but also it's ministry. We go see the work, go encourage the work. And that work is a tough work, it's a hard work. And we're glad we went because the revelation we got was fantastic. God is so good, so good. One of the messages, the pastor just asked me to go and speak. I didn't even have notes, nothing. But the whole message I spoke on, everything is like, God, I'm totally dependent on you. God, I'm totally trusting in you. You better show up. And wow, that was one of the best messages I spoke. I didn't know I had it in me, but God brought out things, new revelations as I was speaking. Revelations keep coming out. And that was so God. So that one reminded me of a scripture. It says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Amen. I actually have the message translation up here for you. You can open and see. Sister Visa, if you're with me in message. Yeah, this is the one. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amen? Don't assume you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first, give Him the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under His loving correction. It's a child He loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Amen? How good our God is. Now back to the hiding. Why was Saul hiding? The first story of hiding in the Bible was Adam and Eve. What happened? They sinned against God and they were hiding. And God asked them, why are you hiding? They said, we're naked. Who told you were naked? You see, we tell ourselves we are naked. We tell ourselves we are shameful. and we hide. Yes, there were consequences to their sin. Major, major consequences. But what was God? What did God do to them? He prophesied over them. He made clothes for them. He covered their nakedness. In the same way, our God wants to cover your nakedness, cover your shame. There's no shame when you come to God. Don't be afraid of coming to God. Don't be afraid of stepping into what God called you to do. He can make things happen for you. Amen? Who told you to hide? We can come to God as He is. Although we made mistakes, we made bad choices, we can come to Him as it is. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. He says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Never cast out. The book of Revelation says, the Spirit and the Bride says, come, 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 come to the Father. Don't be afraid. What are you hiding for? From? What are you hiding? Don't come out. Don't come out. Like the servant, we need to step out. We need to encourage someone. This morning, I'm encouraging you. Why don't you? You see, the servant didn't have much. He had a coin. He invested the coin in Saul's life. Why don't we invest in somebody? Why don't we set somebody up for success? Why don't we set somebody up for victory? Amen? The one little he have, Saul is the boss, you know, he's the servant. But yet he invested in his boss to reach his destiny. You know, encourage somebody. Be a help to somebody. Also, come out of your hiding. Come out of your hiding. It's time, I believe, for our church as well to step into our destiny, to step into what God is calling us to do. No more excuses. God, enough of excuses. Now it's time for us to step into it. And God, He's got everything taken care of you. He loves you. He cares for you. He has great things in store for you. You are His child, and He loves you. Your promotion, your next level in your journey in Him is already set up. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Let's just rise up today. We're going to pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you always look on us with love, Lord. You look on your people with your eyes of kindness, of everlasting mercy, and you love each and every one of us right here, God. So we want to come to you, God, bearing our hearts before you, God. You've seen our nakedness. You've seen our shame. You see what we're hiding for, and yet you love us, God. We want to step, God, into our destiny. I pray that your people this morning, God, will step into all that you call them to do, God. And nothing will hinder anymore, God. For everything is already set apart for them. You already set apart portions for your people. You set apart positions for your people, promotions for your people, God. I ask that you minister, God, to them, God, right now, Lord. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.